League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gabin.
Justin Case.
Steven Seda.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Welcome to the first episode of the Summer Blockbuster Extravaganza for 2015. Yeah, you look excited as hell, Chris Cabin. We're joined today by our
guys don't get excited for the summer, all right?
That's true.
It's a sweat house.
We're joined today by our dear friend, Justin J. Case, coming all the way from the Windy City to hang out with us. How are you, buddy?
Excellent. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, I think it's appropriate because you're our disaster movie expert, and this kind of teeters towards disaster movie territory.
Leads into it, yeah.
Because this movie's just a disaster.
Yeah. So when I was given the crown, I was like, yeah, this works for pretty much everything.
But no, a natural force kills a lot of people. That T-Rex is running through the streets killing people.
Yeah, but it's man-made, though.
Actually, that's a very good point because Hurricane Margaret or Megan, I forgot the name of the hurricane.
Uh-huh.
The inciting incident for this film is a natural disaster. It's a hurricane that comes through and wipes out the Isla Nublar, the first island, and the second island.
Oh.
And the whole reason they have to go in is because,
All the cages are got opened up again. Again, because fucking John Hammond doesn't know how to consult a meteorologist before he builds two dinosaur islands.
Or even, like, a reputable security firm, apparently.
A lock company.
By the way, the episode is about the film The Lost World Jurassic Park, directed by Steven Spielberg, from the great year of 1997.
This was his year?
I don't know. It was an all right year.
Sure, why not?
97?
We still had Clinton around.
Sure.
Pretty fun. As Americans, we were riding high on the hog in 1997.
Sure, yes.
Now, this was his return to directing because he did Schindler's List and Jurassic Park in the same year, in 93, and was like burned out and went away from directing. So this is the less than stellar return to the cinema for Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, this one would hurt. I think if this is like, I just did like this huge Holocaust picture and I did the biggest FX shoot ever.
Yeah. You're burned out.
I'm gone. And then I'm like, okay, it took 3 years or I guess 2 years with production, probably only a whole. Mm-hmm. And you come back and you just do this horrible thing that David Koepp handed you.
I mean,
on a fucking shit platter.
He should have stayed on vacation for a couple more years. I don't think he was ready. That turkey wasn't cooked yet.
Is this Spielberg's worst?
Ooh.
Hook. Give me the hook.
Terminal. Give me the terminal.
Terminal.
That movie's
your vote is Terminal?
Yeah. I think it might be.
He's getting me on the Terminal, but I feel like
I find Hook totally watchable. It's silly as balls, but
I like Hook.
I can't sit through that Terminal.
I thought it was this or Crystal Skull would be the
Crystal Skull. Oh, man, so many opportunities.
It's a hat trick. I think it's the three. It's a three-way tie between Lost World, Terminal, and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, I feel.
And so it makes him 50-50 on directing sequels.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because Crystal Skull and this are wretch fests, but then the other two Indiana Jones movies in the middle are great.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, compared to The Lost World Jurassic Park, Temple of Doom is a fantastic movie.
I would say compared to Lost World, Jurassic Park 3 is a fantastic movie.
It absolutely is.
Oh,
I've been saying since 2001 that the Jurassic Park movie order has been 1-3-2.
Yeah, it just is. Absolutely.
And of course, we're doing this because Jurassic World is coming out. I kind of have no expectations for that movie.
I don't either.
It has to be better than this. I refuse to believe it's going to be worse than this.
That's true. But it just looks like a clone of the first movie. You've got the same like stock characters.
This is a clone of the first. They
also
fucking
true.
Repeat scenes ad nauseum throughout this fucking thing.
Do you think anyone listening to this right now hasn't seen this movie yet? You know, I feel like if you missed it, why would you go back? Well, maybe like you're older now. You want to be a completist before Jurassic World comes out.
Yeah, maybe people are gearing up, being like, "Oh, why did I do that?"
Oh, wow, what a mistake!
I'll tell you, he does allude to must go faster a lot. Like he, yep. They bring that back more than once.
Yeah, they certainly do. With what does he say? He's like,
must climb quicker or something.
Yes.
Must climb rope quicker.
Yeah.
God, that's terrible.
I will say, though, I think that Jurassic Park 3 is technically less believable because William H. Macy, Lance Taglioni, what? Please, what? Explain to me.
And they're not even real rich people. They actually fake being rich
to
convince Sam Neill to go on the adventure. So, it's not like he's got money.
Yeah.
He owns a patent tile warehouse. Which I remember too much about this movie. His business's name is Paint and Tile Plus. And remember that stock cell phone ring when like cell phones first came out and it was like da 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 da.
Yes, yeah.
In that movie, in Jurassic Park 3, that song plays and William H. Macy's like, "That's the jingle to my store. Paint and Tile, Paint and Tile, Paint and Tile Plus."
Wow.
That's a thing that it's like, what the fuck for?
That must have been Nokia product placement.
Yeah, probably something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Alternate title for this movie: Jurassic Park 2 TOO. Because that's what basically John Hammond's like. You know, like the movie starts, a little girl should be killed but isn't because of movie magic.
It must be like grotesque because like they cut away. So the girl is on the island. And she's going and she's feeding a bunch of little tiny dinosaurs. And, of course, eventually they all want to eat her.
Right.
And they cut away. And all of a sudden she's like, "Help me." And the mother comes to get her. And she gives this look like finding Johnny Depp's bedroom after Freddy had his way.
The mom does a really good, like, horror movie, like, pause, build up for it, and then scream kind of a thing.
Because it's a horror movie called Open.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then the father, this bothered me. There's so much... I think that the small dialogue in this is like kind of my biggest problem with it, perhaps. Uh-huh, yeah. That the guy says, "Get away from my daughter," to a whole bunch of little dinosaurs. Like, that doesn't, like, if it was Freddy, you'd be like, "Get away, man."
Yeah.
But like they'd be like, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Yeah. I do think, like, my daughter, I'm not a father, so I don't know, but my first instinct would be, "Oh my God, dinosaurs." Still,
yes.
Even if my child was in mortal danger.
And that is a gigantic problem in this movie. And they don't entirely ignore it, but the whole, like, seeing a dinosaur for the first time is not given the due that it deserves. Like, in that first movie, Laura Dern's jaw drops, Sam Neill's taken off the sunglasses.
Sure.
In this, it's just like, yep, dinosaurs.
Yeah, it's like Richard Schiff, he'd be like, "It's exquisite."
It's like seeing the Grand Canyon the second time.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. That's the level of reaction they get.
The only person who even remotely deserves to be having that reaction is Jeff Goldblum. Ian Malcolm, having already seen dinosaurs. Everyone else is a first-timer.
Well, I mean, all the poachers are just like, "Oh, whatever."
And,
like,
yeah, don't even get me started on the poachers.
The poachers who are just like, "Oh, yeah, it's just like any other animal." No, it's still a dinosaur.
But also, Pete, I know we're jumping around a bit, but Pete Postlethwaite, I guess his dream from being a little boy was to hunt a T-Rex?
Dude, what is the line where he's
a tyrannosaur?
And he's just like, "The payment is I get to hunt and kill this thing, and it has to be a male. Don't ask me why. I have my reasons."
Yeah.
I was like,
"Buck only," he keeps saying.
Yeah, it's like, was that dude's stepdad a dinosaur? Like, I don't understand why it's got to be a male that he wants to kill. "I have a rare collection of exotic animal penises." Although it's a reptile, though. I don't think they've cocks. How does that work?
Wrong guy. A lot of science questions.
You mean you're
wrong.
Not zoological expert, Steve Zadan?
No, it's comic books.
Don't worry. Neither is Julianne Moore.
So then by the way, Andrew, did you notice who the dad was in this scene?
It's the dude from Buffy.
Yeah, Ethan Rain.
Yep. R.I.P.
Oh, that's right. He died.
He's dead, dude.
Robin Sachs is dead.
Yeah, he passed away.
Sad.
It's the only seconds he's on screen in this movie. What I hate about this opening, too, it's like It just says like The Lost World Jurassic Park, and the credits are so unimpressive. It's like you're watching, you know, like in TV pilots when they don't have the graphics set up for the series yet, and it'll just be words of, you know, the titles, plain text. That's what this is. It's like The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Well, I do think a lot of the problem with this movie, especially on the technical side, is like, I think usually Spielberg is like overseeing all the details. He wants to see every part of it. And the studio, as much as they might want to come in, he's like, I'm Steven fucking Spielberg. Leave it alone.
Yep. Yeah.
I think this time he was like, the studio, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just if you want to make the fucking stupid, you know, credits, fine, do it.
It was
you
so...
cut out, you know, wild sound that would actually make sense in certain scenes. Fine, go ahead, do it. I don't care.
Yeah, I had like it's Universal Pictures Presents, which is what you expect.
Yeah.
And then I just and it was like what's sure to be a disappointing picture. Like it just is like
the credits of Catch Me If You Can are better than this. You know,
man,
and that's about a guy
flying
an airplane, not a fucking dinosaur island. So we cut to Jeff Goldblum taking the B train to John Hammond's house.
And he's when we cut to him, he's yawning. Yep. And you're just like, yep.
You just set the tone.
Exactly right. Because it's like, we're trying to juxtapose. It's like the woman screaming into him like, you're like, uh-huh.
And he gets recognized. And he's like, oh, man. You know why you're recognized? You're dressed exactly like Ian Malcolm.
Yeah. Yep. And you know what's terrifying? And, you know, for those out there who've been on like a New York City subway, I guess, you know, they're all relatively the same size wherever you go in the world, subways. Jeff Goldblum, if he had like a baseball hat on, it would be touching the top of this train. He's almost as tall as a train car. It's terrifying.
He's almost as tall as a T-Rex.
A T-Rex.
We have a T-Rex. So we go to John Hammond's house. Where does he live, by the way? He's off the fucking... What? Off the subway.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. Taking this...
Oh, this is my sublet Nestoria. Jurassic Park robbed me blind. I've got a two family here.
That's what you need to have it
John
be.
John Hammond's split level?
Yeah. I got two hot plates here. Two whole hot plates.
That's what it has to be. Like, he's broke from that last debacle.
He gets a lawyer named John, and he's like, we're going to have to leave the two-car garage. He goes, that hurts, John.
And so he's like sort of on his deathbed, but not really. And
well, he doesn't want to fucking get up for this scene. Let's make that very clear.
Yeah.
He wanted to spend as much time in bed in this movie as possible.
Listen, if I was the legendary Sir Richard Attenborough, I wouldn't be getting out of bed for this movie either.
No, I don't blame the man, but but he's lazing about and he says the line, right? He says the title, right?
The Lost World, I think.
Yeah. A Lost World.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Whiff. Well, because he... He also has the titular, you know, welcome to Jurassic Park. So he's got to fucking say it again, I guess. Because as much as, you know, we want to say, like, this movie was directed by Steven Spielberg, so we should have hopes and dreams about it, it's still just a cookie-cutter sequel. Sure. So if he's saying Jurassic Park, he's saying The Lost World.
It's probably in the contract.
Anybody else get flashes of Ghostbusters 2 with Jeff Goldblum's backstory? Like, he's kind of doing kids' birthday parties.
Yeah, he's been
ruined. Saved the city and, like, all of it. Well, not really. He got off Jurassic Park. But, like, I guess he's been ruined by this experience.
He's been dragged through the mud.
Mm-hmm. He lost his tenure. I know that.
That was the big thing.
And that one kid recognizes him on the subway.
Yeah, that's it. The one guy who's like, you're the guy from that thing. Roar.
That guy is credited as somebody's nephew.
So Rob Raliban shows up. This other guy. I don't know who this guy is.
Slavo Catalan. Mr.
Deborah Winger.
Yeah, it's Arliss Howard from fucking Full Metal Jacket, Private Cowboy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, doing an English accent for God
some
knows.
Reason.
Yeah, well, he's again, and this is the thing I don't understand. John Hammond has a rotten family because he's John Hammond's nephew. And in the first movie, Dennis Nedry, his son, is also a rotten prick.
No, I think he's a nephew as well.
Is he?
The only he's got a kid, whoever sired Lex and Tim, but we never see them. Because they're like Huey, Dewey, and Louie living with fucking, you know, with Scrooge.
Yeah, why are they there?
That's the weirdest walk by.
Why are they aware of their his financial ruin? Because he's like, what's going on? They're like, not good.
It's just, and that's why you think like, oh, he's going to be hooked up to life support or something. Yeah. But it's like, no. We're just exclusively talking about the money with that comment. Like, Grandpa's broke.
He's only got $5 million left in the bank. We're in trouble.
He's selling all of his P.T. Barnum shit on eBay. I mean, it's going pretty well, but
the flea circus is up on the chopping block.
So he's like, "Ooh,
flea circus down in Bryant Park."
Oh, welcome to Jurassic Park as well, because there was another island you didn't know about. Like, why,
Grandpa?
Why would there be a second island of dinosaurs? Why is one not enough?
Because, as he explains, they weren't engineering the dinosaurs on that. You know what it's
Fuck
like?
Fuck that. B.D. Wong was doing that
well,
shit.
No,
he was diddling all sorts of dinosaurs.
But this is... Now, hear me out, because this is what I think it is. When a... Take the example of the Brooklyn Brewery.
Sure.
The Brooklyn Brewery started out as like a little brewery and they're making beer and whatnot, but then it got really popular and now they brew most of their beer off-site at another location upstate. But for the purposes of tours, they still do little tiny brew batches at the original compound. And that's what it is.
Okay.
B.D. Wong is doing the specialty microbrew dinosaurs. For the tours to go through, and they're breeding the other, like the main cast of characters this.
So the Pennant Raptors are being made on site. Okay,
yes,
get it.
Exactly.
I can see you.
So yeah, on this island, this is where the big stuff. This is where they're making all the kegs.
I don't know if it didn't make sense to you guys either, but
probably didn't.
No.
So the hurricane wiped out both sites. So, but site B is the one this movie takes place on. That's the breeding ground.
Yeah. Right.
But then Jurassic Park itself was Site A?
Yes.
But that means that they were like, welcome to Site B. And they're like, well, what's about Site A? Like, we're not there yet. Like, why would you... I don't understand. Like if you're a farmer, you don't call your farm Site B and the store Site A.
Right.
I don't know. It just made no sense that they would... That this was B. I mean, yes, it's the second movie. I think it's just a bad writing where it's like, the second movie comes sequentially and B comes after A. But well, in the production of the whole rig, the whole process, it doesn't make sense to... I don't know.
But I guess, like, because Site A is the main site because that's where, like, the park was. That's where the public were, you know, intended to go.
Well, anyway, the same hurricane wiped all two of both of them out at the exact same time.
And, you know, John Hammond is like, well, I'm happy to leave well enough alone an island of misfit dinosaurs. Just hanging out, no sign or anything.
Nothing. You know what? You're a billionaire with a failed, ridiculous project like this. You spend some of your billionaire money and get an electrified thing around the island that's like private, no trespassing.
Right. Also, and by the way, take public transportation to my house so I can tell you I sent your girlfriend without telling you. No fucking town car, John.
Yeah, that's... You're totally right. Taking the scuzzy subway.
Oh, I've spared every expense this time, boys.
No tubs of ice cream this time.
Also, considering all the genetic engineering you're doing on this site, isn't it possible, just possible, that one of them can start to learn how to breathe underwater and comes to our shores and just wreaks havoc?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, don't spoil the surprise ending. Sort of.
So he's like, yeah, by the way, everything was going gravy on my abandoned dinosaur island until this little girl got fucking mauled. And he's like, oh, no. And Goldblum goes, ugh. And he's like, oh, no. She's fine. Like, yeah, right.
No, Goldblum's right.
No mouth, no eyes.
She looks like Gary Oldman in Hannibal.
Yes, exactly.
Just a fucked up face. And she's feeding pigs for the rest
she's
of her
breeding
life.
Pigs for John Hammond.
Yeah, I would love it. Welcome to Swine Park.
But it is because he's like, and that board is taking control away from me. Like, my just forget about it plan.
Didn't work.
The board was unconvinced by me letting dinosaurs exist and never checking in on them.
His strategy is essentially when the Simpsons can't sell their house and Homer nails abandoned to the front door. Yeah, like, that's a Jurassic Park. Abandoned.
Look, I let chaos reign and they didn't think that was enough.
How?
So he's
man.
Like, all right, but I've got an ironclad plan to figure this out. I'm going to make a documentary with four people.
Okay.
I'm sending in a team, in parentheses, not of SEALs.
No.
Just
no.
four people.
Not any mercenaries. You've got noted heavy Richard Schiff. you know, believable documentary filmmaker Vince Vaughn, and you know, I guess believable scientist Julianne Moore,
sure.
And then Malcolm? Ian Malcolm is the fourth. You're the fourth.
No way. And he says no, and then he finds out that he's, you know, that he sent Julianne Moore, and they're dating, and like he's like, oh my god, my girlfriend. And he's like, this has just turned into a rescue mission. And like he gets all like butch about it. You know, like
it's kind of fucked up, honestly. Like he's like he's John Hammond's like, she's fine, she's over there, she's doing it. Like I don't know what you do. He's like, no, fuck you, I'm going to save her.
Well, yeah.
But like it's a she like this I think is a little it's just a little dubious to me because clearly she knows what a dinosaur is and she went over there to see dinosaurs.
Yeah, but here's the thing, dude. And Ian Malcolm knows this because the first time through everybody was just brainwashed the same way. Like, oh, you want to go see some dinosaurs? Like, you know, here's these dinosaurs. It's great. So you're telling someone like you can go see a dinosaur. They don't care about the danger.
But here's the thing is that for years now, she's been hearing Ian Malcolm's side of it.
Yeah.
So she knows all the like she has a very nightmarish vision, rightly so, of this place. And she decided to go anyway. It just doesn't.
If you look at that scene and change the elements slightly, it's kind of like a dude, I fucked your girlfriend conversation. Because it is. It's true. Because he's like, she was begging for it. He says, I couldn't keep her away. I tried. I really did. I promise I tried. I couldn't keep her off the island.
There's this weird other subtext to this scene where it's like a couple of dropped lines about Julianne Moore about how like the only reason she was with Jeff Goldblum was because he was with like she tracked him down like Lily Taylor and I shot Andy Warhol.
Then he gets like she only likes you because of that anyway.
Yeah, it's really weird. And like she was faking it or something. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's a little like he just has this weird attitude of like, what are you going to do about it? Like, it's just really
well,
silly.
She's already there and you're already here.
And so he's like, okay, it's a rescue mission. Before I leave in a huff, I'm like, how much are you paying me? Because you know what? Like, you can still negotiate. This old fuck's got money, you know? And like, he ruined your life. I still want to get paid.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
even if I'm saving my girlfriend.
Oh, what, you're going to give me like a gun and a camera? Thank you very much, John.
Yeah. You know, the big mistake, though, that I feel Jeff Goldblum's character makes is that he says that like he rejected whatever like severance like InGen offered them. Like, you know, that was a pretty penny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's your own fault if you're bankrupt taking the subway.
Wasn't it like hush hush money? Wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was all hush hush money.
Yeah,
which they wouldn't have paid him if he signed an NDA, which they say that they did.
Absolutely. You don't,
then violated.
Yeah, that's not how that works.
We're saying InGen way too much. Did they even say InGen in the first fucking movie? I don't think so.
Very rarely,
maybe once.
So now we get to Jeff Goldblum's daughter, who, you know what? Whatever, man. She's actually a pretty good kid actor. I think
she's fine. Yeah,
she's better than Lex and Tim as an actor.
Yes. Sure.
By the way, Kristen Dunst just looked at Lex's career. Is like, yep, I'll have that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Dude, there's a really sad, sad video. I think you can find it on YouTube. It might be. I think I maybe saw it. I've got the Jurassic Park Blu-ray. I think it's an extra on there. It's like, where are they now? Some of the cast, and it's her, the girl who played Lex, and she's like, yeah, I don't really act that much anymore, but here's a painting I did of Jurassic Park.
And oh, man.
You're just like, oh, that stinks.
You know what? Somewhere waiting for a baton to be passed back.
You know, I was in Angus once.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's the like girlfriend in Angus.
Yep.
But, I mean, she's fine, but there's no need for this kid in this movie. In the first one, like, whatever, I think that they're actually good. And, I think she's fine in this, but, like...
Well, part of the reason, like, kids work in that is the whole thing is, like, Sam Neill's character doesn't know if he wants to have kids, blah, blah, blah. So there's, like, a reason for them to be there.
And you want to have that, like, childhood wonder. There's supposed to be that element of it, so it makes sense.
Exactly.
Not all this horror that's about to happen.
And that's a big problem, is the tone of this movie is completely different from Jurassic Park.
Yes. Yep.
There is very few seconds paid to, like, oh, my God, dinosaurs. How great is this?
Yep.
It's, like, dark and violent. I mean, this is a slasher movie with dinosaurs.
Yep.
Because, like, 20 people get murdered in this movie.
Yeah. They say more, like, was it more than the first and the third combined, I know.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. It's a big like, body count. Also, they're not nearly as memorable as the deaths in the first one. Like,
no one gets eaten off a toilet.
You know, spoiler alert, Schiff's death, yes, memorable.
Oh, he got Schiffed.
But everybody else, it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, the raptor's tail went up. Yeah. And they're dead, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's really weird.
I don't get it.
Well, because they're not characters. There's no characters in this. Not many characters that actually die.
No.
So
we're on this island.
Well, yeah, she just stows away, and I hate fucking kid stowaways every single time.
Oh, yeah, you can keep it.
I hated that because... what are you laughing at me, Justin?
In what other scenario were you asked your opinion?
I just feel like whenever a kid stows away, it's like I'm stowing away in this movie.
Yeah, I'm sneaking onto this movie. That's exactly what it is.
Were you just fuming the whole Into the Wild when he's on the trains?
Yeah, a little bit. You know what? Pay your way.
Did the shooting A Night at the Museum ruin a date for you?
Fair enough. Well, like, so... What I hate about the stow, and I hate stowaways as well, but specifically, what I hate about this stowaway is that. So Jeff Goldblum is trying to tell her go home, like you're going to stay with Catherine or whoever,
yeah,
and just stay here. I'll be right back. And she goes to stow away,
yeah,
and like it acts like he wouldn't go back and be like, okay, I have to take my daughter, put her in a car, and bring her over to Catherine.
Oh, you're totally right.
It just skips completely to them go into the island.
Yeah, you're right.
It makes no goddamn sense.
And this movie's only a minute shorter than Star Wars, so you could have a scene of Jeff Goldblum being like, you know, here, get in the car or whatever. If you do that, she can still jump out the other side and sneak on and whatever.
But we're trying to look at the whole thing about him, the hour and a half of this movie where he's looking for frequencies. That's all him trying to get her back, trying to call her a cab back home or whatever.
And
which he makes her take to some abandoned warehouse at the beginning, by the way.
But that's what I love is like, oh my God, you snuck away to this haunted dinosaur island. Well, I'm going to call you a boat and you're getting out of here immediately, young lady. No, you're in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
We're all going. We're all going or no one's going?
So we're all going. We're all going. And we're...
To Skull Island.
I mean, yeah, we're making a lot of references to King Kong in this movie. Not just the entire third ending. Which, what a fucking bad idea that was.
So they get there and Vince Vaughn's like... It's great because Vince Vaughn's taking like... He's the documentarian of the group. He's taking footage of, I think it's a bunch of stegosaurus as we see first, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, man. Oh, my God. He's got a little bit of Jurassic Park wonder. And Vince Vaughn's good in this. You know, it's early Vince Vaughn.
He's probably him and Jeff Goldblum are doing the best in this movie, I think.
I like Pete Postlewaite. I think he does really well.
Oh, yeah. He's my favorite.
Yeah, that's true.
As Muldoon, too.
Doing Muldoon.
A tyrannosaur. And he's like, oh, my God. This footage is fantastic. People wait their whole life for footage like this. Like, no one waits anything because it's dinosaurs. No one's ever done this before.
Nobody was thinking, one day.
And he's there to get the shots to get paid.
Yeah.
There's just so many small bits of dialogue that really get me bothered. And so he's there to get the shots, and then Julian Moore's like, hey, is that an icon? Can I have it? And he's like, okay.
Well, because he's there for slightly nefarious reasons as well, though. Because he's not actually a documentary filmmaker. The whole twist with that character is he's like an eco-terrorist.
Yeah.
Because when the poachers arrive and everything, and he's like, oh, John Hammond had a backup plan, and Goldblum's like, what's that? And he's like, me. And it's like, lock and load, motherfucker.
But all he does is unload a gun.
Which, by unloading that gun, by the way...
Yeah.
Prevents Pete Postlewaite from killing the T-Rex.
Yep.
Thus, Vince Vaughn is responsible for the terror at the end of this movie.
Vince Vaughn is responsible for all the death in this movie. Yeah, almost every single death in this movie he is responsible for. Because not only did he unload the gun, he unlocked a lock.
That's true.
All the dinosaur locks.
Yeah. Yeah. It was him and the 50 yards between the dinosaur and that shotgun that he was going to shoot him with.
Speaking of nefarious reasons why people are on this island, do you know why Julianne Moore did this movie?
Oh, I know.
To pay off a divorce settlement? Oh, man, I want to be Mr. Julianne Moore so bad.
Have you ever seen an interview she did about the film Evolution? It's fantastic.
Is it a similar story?
It's Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. She just like
dude, that guy took her to town, huh?
She'll just go, yeah. No, she'll just like, she for a while, she was pretty open about how she had like, not that she had a lot of debts, but that she had kind of a compulsion to make money at that age.
Sure.
Like she was getting a little bit older. She was actually interesting. Like she's like, I'm just like, nobody's going to hire me eventually. And I'm going to be a wash up. And so she went through a series where she was like Samuel L. Jackson making movies at one point.
Oh, I do remember that.
She's in a lot of dirt movies.
Yeah. Wasn't she in Freedom Land with Samuel L. Jackson?
She is.
Yep. She is.
I had a question. Better cast pound for pound, Jurassic Park or The Lost World? Because you got to think about this. Now,
yeah.
Go male lead to male lead. Jeff Goldblum to Sam Neill. Win column in Lost World. Now you got female lead,
mm-hmm.
Julianne Moore to Laura Dern. I feel like that's an edge on...
I go Dern.
Dern.
I edge
I'll
Dern.
Go Dern every time.
JJ, where are you standing on Dern? Dern v. Moore.
It's tough, isn't it?
We're going to take a 15-minute break.
Just to process.
Third, you gentlemen see me in my quarters?
Third, it's you get Vince Vaughn versus Jeff Goldblum, because that's where he goes. You know, so yep,
that's true.
Yeah.
So that's, one, that's one, Jurassic Park.
That's one for Jurassic Park. Uh-huh. Fourth, you probably got what? Richard Attenborough versus...
Richard Attenborough.
That's a tie. Everybody, each movie gets one. That's the Attenborough conundrum.
Pete Postlethwaite versus the guy who played Muldoon. That's Pete Postlethwaite, even though Muldoon's a better character.
So you're just talking about like actors, yeah, not like the characters and
yes,
the performances?
Cast.
I guess it's got to be Pete Postlethwaite, but goddamn, Muldoon's a better character.
So, and is it, what, Wayne Knight v. Richard Schiff?
Yeah.
No, it's Wayne Knight v. Arliss Howard. I think it's the slimy traitor.
So maybe Samuel Jackson v. Richard Schiff.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong here. I don't know. It's a close. It's a fucking close one.
Oh, it's a close call.
No, we could spend the rest of the episode doing this. I kind of want to.
Well, we should. But
we have to trudge through. And can I just say about the repeating the movie thing?
Yeah,
it happens here, and it happens hard.
And it happens hard.
Moore is like just in wonder of a baby stegosaurus.
Oh my god.
And
oh,
it's yep. It's Laura Dern with the triceratops to a t, like she's cradling its head.
Yep.
She's doing the whole fucking thing and they're like, no, we have to go. She's like, I want to stay.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
I thought it was gonna sneeze on her, because that's like the brachiosaurus in the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I misremembered that.
Oh, you mean like a fun scene in this movie? No.
No, because this movie is just sheer terror, death, and destruction at every turn. We cannot stop to be like, my God, this beautiful world. This beautiful lost world.
Julianne Moore's, like, her objective there is to, like, it's too much of a mix of zoology and sociology.
Yep.
I feel like the movie doesn't know the difference.
Yes.
Because she was like, a bunch of people say that T-Rexes abandon their babies. I'm here to prove them wrong. There actually are good movies. Like, who's arguing about it?
File that whole thing under who gives a shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Why would we care?
I agree.
I don't care how a T-Rex
takes. Like me as Andrew the movie watcher, or me possibly in another dimension as Andrew the dinosaur scientist. I don't fucking care. But it's an extinct animal. What does it matter?
I would, if beyond even caring, knowing the facts,
yes.
Who's arguing on either side? Like there's a passionate, so if there's a debate over whether or not the T-Rexes take care of their kids, which I can't imagine.
I don't know what journal you're subscribing to.
Like, how does one person, like, no, I know more than you?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I don't...
It's fantasy.
I don't understand it, but there were two arguing scientists that this whole thing was based on.
Yeah. Like, a Minotaur, obviously, like, takes a shit standing up. I know it for sure. Like, you buffoon.
Yeah, I mean, I guess without the existence of Jurassic Park, there's really no way to figure that out. So who cares?
But it's very clearly like that's the kid angle, right? And that's where most of the T-Rex's motivation, because the T-Rex is a character in this movie.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
It's all about my baby.
The T-Rex family, because there's two of them.
And a little baby T-Rex, which looks like fucking dog shit.
Dude, Yoshi in the Mario Brothers movie looks
way
better.
It looks exactly like it.
But less good.
Well, no, because it's just a puppet, and like when they have to hold the puppet, it's just so, like, it's the most ridiculous thing. It's like holding Kermit.
So the evil team of evil scientists shows up, and they're like, oh no, buzzkill, right? And
these, like, are like the InGen. The whole thing is Arliss Howard is like, you know, Hammond thinks that we're just gonna, you know, let these dinosaurs whatever.
Yeah.
No, we're gonna make Jurassic Park back in California is like his business proposal.
Yeah.
So they are there to kidnap dinosaurs and bring them to California is the plan.
It's a pretty bad idea.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's the worst.
I mean, look at what happened in the first one. Come on, everybody.
Okay, so we tried this before with only, like, 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try the population of Earth plus this. Yeah, that should work.
No one see King Kong? That movie was out.
Did no one see what happened to fucking Samuel L. Jackson? Like, did anyone get the pictures on that?
That's on the cover of the Post. I'm sorry. Yes. That's what's happening here.
Gotta hand it to you. Hammond does it again.
Hammond.
Hold on to your guts.
I just love this argument that, like, you know what? We could have had this park up and running. John Hammond just had the wrong vision. He just fucked it up. We're going to do it one better. Like, no.
Yep.
Something's going to go wrong.
Put these dinosaurs down.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
just fucking end it.
Just firebomb it. Murder yep. every... You know yep. what? Extinction 2.
I don't mind the idea. So John Hammond's idea of just letting them be... is actually fine, but set a perimeter.
No, wait, that's what I'm saying. You gotta have a fence.
Yeah,
you gotta
a have, fence and yep. some helicopters circling.
Yeah, you're paying a security team like to work there indefinitely.
Somebody that takes their headphones off.
Oh, wow. Oh, we'll get yeah, to yeah, that yeah, guy.
So yeah. it's a team of, it's Peter Pete Postlethwaite, who's great, RIPD, that guy.
Absolutely.
Yes. Peter Stormare. RIPD his career, right?
He's just, I love Pete Stormare because he's just a guy who will play any number of ambiguous European.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's, and he's kind of, I guess, Swedish in this movie.
Sure.
Who knows? It's Peter Stormare, whatever.
And 40 fucking corpses show up. Like these guys.
Or just dump them off the boat.
Yeah. And I mean, so they basically, I don't know. They come in and say, hey, it's our operation now, et cetera, et cetera. And they
right.
start fucking, you know, Pete Postlethwaite makes this weird sexual request about the T-Rex.
Yep. It's got to be just, a male. Don't ask why.
Yeah, he's just like.
All right, I won't.
He's like, you can forego my payment, which is real weird.
Yeah, because you know that's good dino money.
Oh, for sure.
Some solid dino bucks you're getting paid to capture
this
T-Rex.
And isn't this your posse of, like, I feel like he's the wrangler for all of these guys. Like,
he's the
one in the show.
Yeah.
So I figure, like, his payment is their payment.
I think he's saying, like, his own compensation.
Oh, just his cut of the...
Well, pass it on to your guys' spouses.
Yeah, because they're definitely not coming back.
Yeah.
Also, dude... You could bilk this guy out of money and hunt that fucking T-Rex, man.
Oh, yeah, because what is he going to do about it?
Yeah.
Arliss Howard's not going to do anything. He's just a wormy nothing in this movie.
So they do pretty good for a first night's haul of hunting dinosaurs. They've got like 40 dinosaurs all penned up without locks for some reason.
Well, no, there's locks.
No, there's the whole time it's like a circus. They're just pulling up the pin.
Oh, the pin pull.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, it's like they put a pin in, so it's not like a bolted master lock.
You know what was weird watching? I've seen this movie maybe like 5 times, and this time only, like watching it last night, in the dino wrangling scene, for some reason, I was getting upset, like as like an abuse to animals thing. I was like, fuck those guys, because I started thinking about like all those pricks that like, you know, go to Africa and fucking... shoot lions in the head and then post it on Facebook.
Sure.
Those people should be given the fucking chair. But I started thinking about those people, and I was like, oh, those poor dinosaurs.
Can I make it, put us a theory behind that?
Yeah.
And then I had the same feeling, right? And but they weren't, other than Peter Stormare's behavior, it was actually a fairly humane effort.
Yeah.
But I think that what it was is that, what bothered me about this movie, I think that it's just making you think of the respect and like awe that the first movie brought up in you.
Yeah.
Is that the first movie, there's a really great kind of like childhood, like some animals are dangerous, but they're not bad things, right? And a lion is a predator, but by, you know, but he's not, you know,
evil.
It's evil
not a villain.
Thing. Yeah, it's a really nice, kind of very respectful, elegant way to think about the animal kingdom that the first movie brought up.
Yes.
And the second one, this movie is just classless. Like, it's lost. It's like, it's not classy like the first one. And that's why I got the same feeling.
You're totally right.
Can we, apparently when David Koepp was writing the script of this movie, this little IMDb tidbit where
the
he's
director
like,
of Secret Window, by the way, let's not forget that.
He put up a fan letter on his computer monitor or right next to it at his workstation that said, I didn't like the first Jurassic Park movie because it took so long to get to the darn dinosaurs. So well, he's like, that's number one, I'm going to fix that.
How
that
fucking dare you?
Use Laura Dern's name in an email without her permission.
Dude, the first scene is a dinosaur eating a guy in the first movie.
But you only show a claw or something. You get to see a dino shot.
Oh, good. Now I get to wait for an hour and 12 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
all this, oh, shit. Oh, who cares?
Like, he got a letter from an idiot who doesn't know anything about how to make a good movie, and he was like, just going to keep this at the top of my noodle the entire time I write this movie.
Going to improve on that fucking Jurassic Park.
Think like a fat moron.
What does the back of Jaws look like? Another problem.
Well, because he does, okay, I'll give him this. You do see dinosaur, like actual dinosaurs within the first 5 minutes.
Sure.
You see them do almost nothing. And then for the rest, until an hour and 12 minutes when, you know, the great shift death happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all just them walking around and fucking like strutting. Who gives a like? Clearly,
oh, sweet. He listened to my letter. Look at him walk.
It's a lot of fucking police brutality. Mason kids as they're leaving a protest in this movie. Like, that's what I got to. Like, that's what it is. Because remember, they say that all the predators are in the center and all the peaceful ones are. That's why that's how the movie progresses.
Right.
And it's a lot of like flat top, like just. Just like fern eaters, like, oh, fucking what? I'm around my neck. All right, all right. Yeah. Thank you.
I guess if anything, that's what was really getting to me because it was just all the innocent, like, ones that aren't going to harm a fly. We're just trying to eat plants here. Like, no, what's happening?
Also, a headbutting dinosaur is really sweet.
Yeah.
That's a sweet dinosaur.
And the whole thing is compounded by that one scene where Pete Stormare, because he's a psychopath, is like, oh, look at that little dinosaur, and he electrocutes it. And he's like, why wasn't it scared of me? And the scientist that's there, who's hilariously just wearing a cowboy hat through this whole movie,
He looks like the kid, the bastard son of Dusty from Twister and Michael Jeter.
And he's just like, you know, that dinosaur had no reason to be afraid of you because it's never interacted with man before. So there's this whole like innocence about it. And then these things are getting fucking choked to death and you're just like, oh, man, movie.
But that's like a fucking phoning in poetic justice from mile away.
Oh,
he's like, oh, I'm going to fucking buzz this little thing.
Like, so listen, I've seen dead meat in my life before.
Yeah.
But never, ever have I seen an imperialistic, mean-speeded Peter Stormare with one coming to him, lost while his Spanish guy listens to his headphones after slipping down a ravine. Dead meat. Like, that's 15 minutes of him about to get it.
You know what you don't get to bring on a trip to a dinosaur island? A Walkman.
There's enough to entertain you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like the classic, like, why you play your Game Boy? Why we bring you all the way to SeaWorld just to play Game Boy?
Yeah, exactly.
Look,
what is he thinking?
Look, when I said take a rest, I meant lean up against a tree.
Yep.
Or talk to a friend. I don't care.
With an infinite number of unknown dangers. But I just have to be blaring this ranchero music off my Walkman. Oh, that guy just deserves everything that comes to him.
He's got one of the worst deaths in the movie, or one of the best.
Yeah.
So first night.
Oh, is he gum on your shoe, Dad?
Yeah.
He's the repeated stomping.
First night, you know, Vince Vaughn reveals himself as an eco-terrorist, and he's like, that's what I'm here for. So he starts opening up all these cages and causes the death of at least two people that night.
Yep.
And he's like, and Pete Postlethwaite's already got this dinosaur, this little T-Rex chained up. He's like, it's bait for the buck. And I'm like, whoa, man. Whoa, why are you wearing that leather outfit right now?
Especially in the jungle, my God.
And he, Vince Vaughn is like, oh, that poor little T-Rex. Let me go pick it up because it's got a broken leg. And I'm like, dude, no.
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
It's also so, and I do understand that likely that T-Rex broke its leg. Through the tying up process.
Sure.
But there's a whole... So one of the other thing that is just such a dumbing down in this movie is that the chaos theory is really sweet. Like, the chaos theory sets the tone of the Jurassic Park movie so well.
Right.
It's short and it's awesome. And it's like, you know, like, we're like things are going to, if we do this, you know, things are going to go the drip of water or whatever.
And Goldman was about to close in that scene. If Sam Neill didn't show up, Goldman would have closed.
But this one, you're totally right. Throughout it, they're just be like, I have another theory. But the theory that they're putting out is just the basic theory of science and testing. And they're like, there's a theory that you can't observe a system without altering it.
Right.
Well, here's the fucking thing. What altering a system is taking a dinosaur that's broken its leg. Yes, it could have been because of the tying up.
Yeah.
But if their whole thing is he's eco-terrorist and he's like, let nature be nature.
Right.
Then if a dinosaur breaks its leg, you let it, the mother come and take care of it.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's so either going to kill it or fuck it or whatever.
Talk about like interfering with an ecosystem is putting your chewing gum on a makeshift cast on a dinosaur and let it and then releasing it. And then when you're ready to let it go, giving it back to its mom.
Yeah, you're
it's
totally
actually
right.
Completely opposite to any kind of animal rights like theorem that would be out there.
So we're like running from this camp and we're gonna fix this dinosaur's leg in this trailer.
Dinosaurs have broken their legs in the wild before. That's my point.
I'm sure it totally happened. Okay. Happened all the time.
Gotta.
They're brittle bird bones, you know?
Good point. And those avian bones.
Jeff Goldblum, Richard Schiff, and Jeff Goldblum's daughter are in this hideaway, this like little...
The high hide.
The high hide, as they call it.
Wow, that's just really creative. It was just as creative as that remark I made where I thought I was going to make a joke, and then I just said, well, that was really creative.
You think all the guys? Do you think Richard Schiff smokes weed up there?
Absolutely,
of course he does.
Call it the high hide giggle.
and the storm. There's a storm coming in, by the way.
Of course,
because we're on Jurassic Park. There's a storm coming,
and you know John Hammond didn't pay for any fucking storm shutters anywhere.
No.
There's one thing that idiot didn't figure
he didn't
out
pay
is
for
the fucking
rain jackets.
I know. Why would you need umbrellas? It's Costa Rica.
Not even those ponchos you keep in your car, man. They got nothing.
Just nothing. So they're hiding up there, and we're playing ER with this goddamn dinosaur baby. Trying to put a little cast on this thing or whatever's going on.
Fucking carnosaur-looking piece of shit dinosaur.
Man, you just reminded me of Carnosaur and just how terrible that movie is. That is virtually unwatchable.
And Jeff Goldblum starts hearing the T-Rex coming, and, you know, it's that scene.
Because the T-Rex is, like, the baby T-Rex is, like, screaming on the operating table, and Vince Vaughn's, like, putting a belt over its snout, like, shut up! Told you to be quiet! Daddy wants to fuck!
Well, that's like, I don't understand. You're both, apparently, I mean, Julia more specifically knows these things inside and out. Did you not think when you picked this thing up and ran away with it?
Yes.
That a T-Rex might just be on your trail?
I mean, that's the thing. Earlier in the movie, we're arguing about, like, which dinosaur has the largest scent radius and all this shit. So, like, you've talked about things like the protectivity, you know, of dinosaurs, like how protectful they are. Yeah. They're young. The smell radius. Let's just pick this thing up and bring it back to the campsite. You boobs.
And they're like... keeping jokes and like ripping each other like nothing's
he
ever gonna
spits
happen
on her.
Oh yeah, he totally spits on her.
That is uncomfortable.
It is a bit weird, huh?
That's no computer spit either. That's Vince
Vaughn in real life spitting Julianne Moore's hand.
Thank God she had a medical glove on.
That she did.
So yeah, we're doing work on this thing, and this, I mean, it essentially leads to the best sequence in the movie.
There is, it does, the T-Rex does have a little wink at the cat, a little I'm back. He does have that little thing where he goes to the window and gives a wink. It's like, hey, everybody, you miss me? It's the T-Rex.
Well, because it's a surprise T-Rexing, too, because they're looking out one window, and then the T-Rex head comes down, and it's the first time you see it in the movie, and it's like, eh, hey.
I expect him to snort and then write, like, still hungry.
And guess who I brought with me? Mrs. Rex.
Oh, oh, man, if she had a bow in her hair?
If she had a bow in her hair, it'd be so great.
Oh, then that little baby's got the little spinny head on.
Little beanie on its head.
I mean, you know, we really needed the gender specification because I had no idea which one was the mother and which one was the father the entire time.
Need that bow. Yeah. You need that Mrs. Pac-Man bow.
It's a little pink bow.
Worked for video games for 35 years.
So then Julianne Moore's like, all right, we're just going to do a handoff. We're going to just
dude,
we're
it's like we're
make
trying
a deal with this fucking Carnosaur.
We're trying to cool down a hostage situation here. It's like, well, let one out at a time. I'm going to let the baby out, and you let the pizzas come in. Because we're in here all night.
What is this? It's filled with my dirty undies, dude.
What
yes, so they're doing a handoff with the T-Rex.
Dude, are
correct.
You fucking this dinosaur handoff up?
And it works, and they're like, who? And then the fucking T-Rex is, of course, maul the shit out of their trailer.
Of course, because it's like, yeah, thanks, we got our kid back. Also, we're not going to forget that you fucked with our family. Come on. And like the two of them are just like, wow, dodged that bullet.
Well, what a course. There you go.
Oh, I think Jeff Goldblum's also in the trailer at
yeah,
this point.
Yeah, he runs down. He's like, oh, the T-Rexes are coming, you know.
The trailer that they have a long conversation about, or maybe that's somebody else, but the trailer that they park 25 feet from a cliff.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It couldn't possibly rain. There's not going to be a mudslide.
Why would you not bring it in?
Bring it
just
in.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Look at that! Look at that nice bottle of beer. You didn't put it right on the corner, now did you?
No, I didn't. It's about 4 inches in from the edge of the table.
Same principle.
Just in case it rains in here,
or if a T-Rex wants to fucking nudge you off a cliff, which I love, is they realize like, oh my god, they're pushing us off the cliff.
Yeah. But that part is great too, because I would feel like, especially with, like on a building suspense, you'd be pushing and pushing. He's like, knock. Knock out, we're off the cliff. It's really quick how quick he gets above that. Yeah.
So we're hanging off this thing.
Richard Schiff, greatest American hero, comes down. I mean, like, and he's a really good guy. He comes in, he's guns blazing into a two T-Rex territory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's tying a rope from the truck to the trailer, and we're trying to back up and whatnot.
Because half the trailer's off the cliff and half the trailer's on.
Right.
And they're in the off the cliff part. And he's like, oh, my God, are you guys okay? They're like, yeah. And he's like, do you need anything? And this is what Jeff Goldblum says, a rope. He's like, okay, good. You need anything else? Which is being like, crisis situation. Who needs bandages? Who needs whatever? And they're like, what do they say?
It's something like,
Let me get three double cheeseburgers.
Double cheeseburgers. Julianne Moore says an apple turnover.
And fucking Vince Vaughn's like, hold the onions. Fuck you, I'm leaving.
I would turn back around and be like, oh, okay, and suck my cock, and I'd leave. How dare you mouth off to me in this situation?
Enjoy the cliffs.
Seriously, enjoy falling to your death.
Fall to your death. I'm done with this.
See how fucking hilarious that is.
Cheeseburgers. You just almost got eaten.
This cavalier shit. I don't need it. Just, you know, like, basically, this is, he's kind of doing a Dennis Nedry, tying the tree around or whatever.
Yeah, we certainly are, just mirroring everything.
And not this T-Rex death, though, because the T-Rex, I don't know why the T-Rex is like, they fucking push it almost off a cliff, and then I guess they smell Richard Schiff, and then they're like, hey, aren't you on the West Wing? And then just fucking tear him limb from limb.
Well, that smells much more prestigious. That's West Wing
meat.
Guess
we'll have to share.
Dude, they do. Oh, man. They fucking two-time him.
Oh, God. I mean, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's essentially the lawyer getting eaten off the toilet in sequel form.
Sure.
And they just tear that little dummy in half, and he just gets Schiffed. And it's so great.
And the last thing he hears is some fucking sarcastic Jeff Goldblum nod for whom he's risking his life.
That's the last human interaction he has on this earth is, hold the onions, you fucking douchebag.
Right. So and then he gets, I don't know who is editing this movie either, because no sooner is he torn asunder. It just goes into the triumph. It goes from him dying right into the triumphant Jurassic Park theme.
Yes.
I noted the same thing. It is the weirdest transition.
The music is so inappropriate.
It's inappropriate.
And they, like, what? And we're getting into some unbelievable bullshit, though, because they're hanging out on this rope that the late Richard Schiff has set up for them. And then the trailer, like, falls, and they go through the trailer and whatever, and they're still just hanging onto this rope. And they are hanging onto this rope like no human being has ever been able to hang onto a rope. Yeah. And they're doing things like falling down the rope and then catching themselves. Like, I don't care how strong you are. You are falling off of this cliff.
Fuck it up 4 or 5 times.
There's no way
all three human beings are holding onto this rope like this.
This is Ninja Warrior shit. They can't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, those guys are falling into that pool.
Yes.
So the poachers show up and they climb up and save them.
And then they're like, hey, thanks for killing half our camp. I guess we have to work together now that all the dinosaurs are loose.
Yeah, totally.
And you got the T-Rex pissed off at us.
And so Pete Postlethwaite says, you know, there's a... they lose all their equipment because the dinosaur rampage knocked out their equipment at the camp.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, the trailer fell off the cliff because we're making fucking cheeseburger jokes to Richard Schiff. So there's no communication there. So Pete Postlethwaite says, there's a village in the middle of the island, remember, where all the predators live. If we get to that, we can radio for help and get out of here. So that is like... The goal of the movie is to get to the middle of the island as opposed to the last movie where we're trying to get out to the... God damn, this movie's really dumb.
Well, it sucks. What sucks is that... So after they get rescued, first of all, they get the girl down from the high hide.
Yeah.
She saw all of that.
A little older.
A lot older. She just watched a man get ripped in half.
Oh, yeah. That'll age you real quick.
She's not talking to anybody for the rest of this movie.
Freaks out and she looks down. There's like a little glass case that says smash in case of emergency. And it's just a spliff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I have to hand it to Richard Schiff because I am just up in that high hide smoking weed till I fall right asleep.
Watching fucking Jeff Goldblum be turned into a goddamn cheeseburger. See how you like it.
Well, that's the thing. No, you just turn the other way, and you're just looking at a beautiful rainforest.
Enjoy your cheeseburger in hell, asshole.
Son of a bitch.
And you could even write it off and be like, look, someone's got to protect this little girl. You know what I mean? Like,
he's just. I imagine him just smoking the spliff with one hand, and then the other hand just covering her eyes.
Terrible way to go. They're still alive.
So this is when Pete Postles, Pete Stormare is poetic justice. So we're on the march to the thing, and this fucking asshole's listening to his music, and Pete Stormare is crying his heart out to get freed because his friend is like supposed to be watching him.
Right. Yeah. And so he falls down this thing, and the little compy dinosaurs come out, and they're like chewing on him and stuff.
Bite, 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 bite.
And he's just screaming, and then you cut back to the guy, and it's just like ranchero music. He's like running. It's kind of an annoying sequence that's dragged out.
It goes so long.
Like that first time they drop on him, I was like, oh, here's where he gets eaten.
Yeah, pan the camera up and we're good.
Yeah, like he gets back up, runs another 20 feet, falls over a log, and then that's when they really get him.
And then we also borrow from the death of Dennis Nedry with the water. It's regular water running, and then it turns into blood water.
Which happens twice in this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because when the cowboy scientist gets pulled through the waterfall by the T-Rex, the waterfall turns bloody.
And it's a nice trick. The first time, the storm... Yeah.
It was a nice trick in 1993 when it happened to Wayne Knight.
Right. So it's been a long night, a long day of hiking. You know, we're on a fucking volatile dinosaur island. Let's all go to sleep at the same time.
What?
Let's set up camp.
Mistake.
As we know, and we know that every step we take, we're going into the more dangerous part of the island.
Right.
So why not take a nap first and then do that?
Yeah, exactly.
During the day, maybe.
Man, how is no one keeping watch?
How is Pete Postlethwaite sleeping? I mean, he seems like the guy who's just up all the time.
Yeah. Well, Robert Shaw, you know, he slept pretty well on the boat in Jaws.
Sure.
He ain't afraid of no ghost. I suppose it's the same thing with this character.
Question, is this the only Crackle product placement anyone's ever seen? The Crackle candy bar?
I didn't even notice a Crackle candy bar.
Because that, in the tent, is Julianne Moore and Jeff Goldblum's daughter in a big, fat, red Crackle candy bar.
Oh, is that what she hides under the sleeping bag?
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, wow, they put money in this, huh? The Crackle Corporation's like, hey, we're not just mini candy, motherfucker. We're not just for Halloween.
Now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever seen a full-size Crackle bar.
I know, it took me out of the movie, to be honest.
Was that movie magic? Crackle is only a candy bar.
You know, technically, that Crackle's a stowaway as well.
I do wonder if they took a meeting like, look, for Jurassic Park 2, we're making a T-Rex-sized Crackle bar.
You're totally right. I don't remember what was on sale at the drugstore during the release of this movie.
Well, but like, Crackle doesn't have Nikon paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to be in this movie.
So the T-Rex comes and fucking
does a panty raid on the girl's
hand. Yeah. Oh, must have been the buck, huh?
Because this guy is just sniffing into the girl's tent, man.
Which is the most frustrating, that nobody, it sneaks in silently.
The first of two times this T-Rex is sneaking around in this movie.
And they hear something, I can't remember if it's the young girl, if it's Julianne Moore, goes, "What's that?" Like, I'll give you one guess.
it's the young girl, because like, Julianne Moore is terrified.
I don't know, 20 tons? Yes. And is that not enough for you? Okay.
It's starving. What's weird?
It's got a taste for human blood.
There's a bit of a continuity error here, I think, unless I miss something, because they're in this tent, and the girl's screaming.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she covers up her mouth, and the T-Rex is still, like, the last thing we see, the T-Rex has its head in the tent.
Mm-hmm.
And then some dude on the outside or whatever wakes up and is like, "Aah!" And the T-Rex attention turns to the crowd of guys outside. And what you see is the T-Rex stand up and shake its head because the tent is stuck on it.
Yeah.
And he flings the tent.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden they're just running. Like, Julianne Moore and the daughter don't get flung through the air.
It could be a tent that doesn't have a bottom to it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a...
Oh, those are a thing?
Yeah, kind of, right?
A bottomless tent?
Yeah.
Oh, how about
just
that?
Like a cover? Yeah, no.
Hammond's
again, it's
out
a Hammond expedition. He's cutting corners left and right.
Our
tents don't need floors.
That doesn't even, I mean, compared to the idea that this camp, that the little tent that Julianne Moore and this kid have is so far off from the rest of the people step on any other people on his way to do this tent.
Well, dude, it's a Twinkletoesosaurus. It's very capable of snooping through campgrounds.
T-Rex stars in Don't Wake Daddy. Fucking absurd.
So, yeah, this is where Mr. Ranchero headphones get stepped on.
Oh, man. It's a great
awesome.
Death.
It's the second best death under the chiffoning.
Yeah.
Because the dude gets stepped on, and you're like, that's cool. That's also a King Kong reference.
Yeah.
But then the T-Rex keeps walking, and the guy's just stuck, and he gets stomped like three times. Oh, it's beautiful.
But because it's Steven Spielberg, of course, there's no blood. So I kept on thinking about Christopher walking at the end of Roger Rabbit. Just flatten.
Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd. Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd, sorry.
Imagine like in the cartoon, he gets back up still alive. Ay, Dios mío. Just falls back down.
Dude, surprise cartoon in this movie? That would be pretty cool.
Everything's a surprise.
Well, we got to mirror Mr. DNA somehow.
Oh, yeah. In your porting of films, who's Mr. DNA in this movie?
That's a great question. Maybe the guy on the subway.
Oh. You mean the guy that was in one episode of Battle Creek?
Yes. This is the waterfall sequence, which is really stupid because it's all of our principal cast and this other guy hiding under this waterfall.
It's like, you know what, Mr. Cowboy Hat? You've seemed like a pretty nice fella, but I'm doing the math here.
And the T-Rex comes in, and he can't quite reach anybody, and he starts licking Julianne Moore.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yep, up and down.
Dinosaur
must have been the
tongue.
Buck again.
Dinosaur tongue, get it out of here.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking painting in Robert Morse's office on Mad Men, huh?
Just an octopus going places?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this dude gets eaten, and this is...
Well, he gets a snake on him. He goes, oh, a snake!
Oh, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
A snake got on my Brooks and Dunn t-shirt. Is he wearing a Brooks and Dunn t-shirt?
No, I just imagine he's a fan.
So, yeah, he gets pulled through, and this is the second blood water thing, because he gets pulled through, and, yeah, the blood comes down. And this is ridiculous, because there's another... This is another weird thing where they're like... and Vince Vaughn's like, he's coming back. And then Jeff Goldblum runs through the waterfall. And I was like, is Jeff Goldblum secretly a T-Rex?
I don't know.
What is
that
costume chain?
That is the second
chain.
Time that somebody... Yeah.
It's so weird. It's like the dinosaur has just seconds ago eaten that other scientist. How did Jeff Goldblum sneak around?
That is just another snippet of dialogue that just got me so upset. So everybody's looking at the same waterfall, Vince Vaughn. And you're looking at it. He's like, he's coming back. And like,
that's
but
what
he's
someone
not.
Needs to be like, says who?
I think it's easy. I think it's easier to believe that Jeff Goldblum and T-Rex are collaborating. And they, he really is like, I don't want this place to be found. John Hammond has to be ruined forever, as does all of InGen.
So in this scenario, Jeff Goldblum is a dinosaur mole? He's working for the dinosaurs?
He offers up all of InGen to the T-Rex.
Oh, I see.
Are the T-Rexes paying better than John Hammond?
I think he's just so fucking done with it at this point.
Oh, I see.
Oh, he's a turncoat.
Yes.
He's a dino turncoat. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that could be.
Well, Jeff Goldblum, Ian Malcolm is a great character in the first movie. You know what I mean? Like, he's off the wall. He has really great speeches. He's really intelligent. In this one, he's just kind of a shitty action hero. Any motivation like he has is like, I got to protect my girls. At one point, I think that the Stegosaurus scene, like a Stegosaurus steps to Julianne Moore and like Jeff Goldblum pulls her back and she's like, oh, he was just trying to protect his baby. And he's like, so am I. And I'm like, dude, fuck you, man. It's
like problem.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's so weird. I mean, because the whole genesis of what this... how this came about is garbage town to begin with, because the first movie was so successful and they were like, well, we want to do another one, but you don't have another book. And Michael Crichton was like, I don't want to write a sequel to my book. And Steven Spielberg was like, write a sequel to your book. Because in the first book, Ian Malcolm gets killed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I remember reading The Lost World as a kid, and the whole thing is like, Ian Malcolm's introduced, and he's like, oh, the doctor did fine work. I was like, no, you were murdered by dinosaurs, dude. Come on.
So,
like,
is it a thing where Sam Neill didn't want to do it? Is that the idea? And then they just had to go to Jeff Goldblum? Or was Jeff Goldblum so popular in that first one they decided to give it to him?
I think it was that. I think the second one, he was such a popular character. He was definitely a more popular character than Sam Neill.
But sure. No, it's a chicken and the egg thing, though, because the book doesn't have Alan Grant.
Oh, none of. Oh, okay,
but no. I also think that the book was written with like, all right, who can we get for this one, or who do we, you know what I mean? Like Spielberg had an idea of who we wanted.
So
this
you're
movie
saying to, that the book that the Lost World book is the first novel adaptation of a movie written before the movie was made?
Possibly,
pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a secret meeting where Steven Spielberg was like, hey, Michael Crichton, here's my notes for what your book should be.
Yeah,
possibly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though. But then the movie does stray a lot from the book anyway. Like, so much so that it's like, you know, when it says, like, based on, it's like, yeah, it's loosely adapted from that book that you made that dude write.
Oh, man.
Why couldn't you at least be true to the novel?
Thank you, Michael. Everybody's going to notice when you die.
Now we're going to Raptor Country. Like, it's like literally one of the monorail at a theme park, and we get into Raptor Country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. And this is like... this is some of the laziest shit, because it's supposed to be terrifying, right? Because we're running through this field, and these dudes are just getting pulled down one by one.
Yep.
And it's supposed to be terrifying, but it's not. It's just lazy.
Yep.
And then even lazier is the introduction of the jumping raptor, the high-jumping raptor, which we couldn't see in the first movie, because that movie had integrity and mainly used puppets. And the computer dinosaurs in this movie, dude... it looks like garbage. We were really overzealous with the CGI use in the late 90s.
I thought Denver was going to show up. Just going to be hanging out in the forest. No, I mean, like, what I hate about it is that the first one was, like, the raptors are all characters.
Yep.
They have, like, the mother and, like, she's the smart one and all that stuff. And, like, there's a very specific... they are the villains of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, like... I mean, they're dinosaurs, and they're going to eat you.
You get Steven the penultimate dinosaur.
Well, because it's a thing where it's like, you remember all the raptors from the first one, right? Well, they're back. Everybody loves the raptors.
And this one really wants Julianne Moore's backpack.
Give me that backpack, lady. And I mean, they look terrible.
Bad.
They're mostly computer in this movie.
Yep.
There's a little raptor puppetry, but not really.
I think there's maybe two or three like puppet shots.
And it's essentially just this one sequence with the raptors, and that's it.
They go on and on. I mean, we go
and on and on and on and on.
Everybody, it's also that field sequence is a really good way to get a high body count without it doing any work. You know what I mean? Yep. Like,
people are just film dudes falling over.
Yeah. That you've never seen before.
They have some sort of Hunter's intuition and intelligence about, like, don't sleep downwind and you don't want to camp on their particular trails.
Right.
And they're like, how do we get to point A to point B? Well, like, let's go through a place where our visibility is 4 inches.
Seriously, let's run through this tall grass.
That happened. Oh my God. Now I know I was so freaked out. I was at college and I was walking through some high wheat fields. Yeah. To go to work at like 4:30 in the morning, and it was super dark, and there were deer on either side of me jumping in and out of the wheat, and I was like, oh, fuck, it's like the raptors. They're going to pull me down, man.
You're going to the distillery? What did you do?
Yeah, what? Why were you taking that way to
work?
Work
at a gym?
Yeah. I had to get a cab. It was a long story. We're in this like control room thing. We're going in and out of it, and like,
yeah.
By the way, in case you were wondering, at the beginning of the movie, Jeff Goldblum was like, "Whatever happened to your gymnastics class?"
Oh God!
And like,
damn
he
it.
Says it and stops. It's like, everybody, remember now. I'll put that in your back pocket. She does gymnastics.
I like to see like him teaching like a Robert McKee style like screenwriting. That's foreshadowing.
And so, yeah, we're trying to fight off these raptors, and one, like, gets in this control room, and she's like, oh, those pipes look like uneven bars, and just starts swinging around and flip kicks this raptor out a window.
Get the fuck out of here, movie. Get out of my face with that horse shit.
I think that it's not a bad move for her to save if she runs and kicks.
Mm-hmm.
But she's, like, doing multiple tricks and shit.
Yeah, there's a whole routine involved.
There's a routine. She does a full routine before she kicks
it. She's going for the bronze.
Like, she's going for the gold. She's going to get the bronze. But yeah, going for the gold. Nobody goes for bronze.
In the Raptor Olympics, she is.
Oh, wait. In Raptor Olympics, it goes bronze, silver, gold?
Yes.
Don't you know this?
No.
I might have had that.
Are you a mole? You working with them?
Chris Cavan's a dino turncoat.
Collaborating. It's more classy that way.
Yeah, and whatever. We just and this is another thing about the laziness and like the lack of awe and respect for these animals. Because even though these characters are like terrified, in quotation marks, yeah, of these raptors, they are just walking in and out of these raptors. There's a scene where Julianne Moore like makes one fall out a window or something, and it falls on another one, or it falls off a roof and falls onto another raptor.
Oh, the shingle scene, which
yeah.
I love.
Yeah,
because the raptor's like, I don't understand shingles.
Yeah, but then these raptors start fighting, and she falls right next to them. Yep. Instead of immediately getting up and be like, "Fuck everything," she just like slowly gets up and is like crawling away, not as scared of a velociraptor as she deserves to be. It's so infuriating. The laissez-faire attitude that we have towards these dinosaurs. Just, oh, they're there, whatever. Don't mind them. They're just velociraptors.
This is after the second time that Jeff Goldblum references the first one, saying he says both like, must climb swifter or something like that.
Yeah, must climb quicker or something.
Yeah.
That's in back before the shiffening happens.
Yeah, yeah. And then again, he goes, run. As fast as you can.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
Like, specifying the speed in which you should be traveling in a movie full of dinosaurs.
You're a dinosaur island. Like, I'm doing everything as
run.
Fast.
Run, all right, I'm going to start as a jog, and you can change. I'll start jogging, and you can tell. You can throttle me up or down.
You can draft behind me. No, we're all running as fast as we can.
Meanwhile, Vince Vaughn has made his way to this village center, and he's like fired up the control panel, and there's actually nothing that stands in his way of doing this.
No, yeah, there's no like cool scene with it's not Lex and Tim with the fucking control room when they're trying to close the door on the raptor, which is
like,
great.
You know what? How about Vince Vaughn v. Dilophosaurus at this point?
Yeah.
There's just a Dilophosaurus hanging out in there, and it spits on him and kills him.
Yep,
because Vince Vaughn should be a dead meat character in this movie, and he's not.
Well, because we only care about a T-Rex and the raptors, and we barely care about the raptors anyway. So,
yeah,
like,
yeah. I mean, this really is T-Rex the motion picture this time around.
I mean, well, like, the Stegosaurus is in the beginning, fine, that's great and all.
Yeah.
But, like, I need a little more dangers. And, like, one thing I will say I'm glad they're doing in the new movie is underwater dinosaurs.
Yes.
I think that was
something part looks pretty cool.
They should have done probably in this movie.
Can I make a prediction for the new movie?
Sure. Yeah.
One of Chris Pratt's raptors dies a heroic death. Guaranteed.
Oh,
check
yeah.
Mark.
I bet
check
you're
mark.
Totally right.
I put fucking every dollar I have on it.
Yeah. Oh, maybe they do like a stunt and to save him at the end, like they have a routine that they got to do, and they all
it's a routine that you see at the beginning of the movie, and then they do it to save him, and one dies.
I think that's.
I'll go double or nothing. Top hat.
Raptor in a top hat.
You want it? You going to take this action?
Can we talk about when Pete Postlethwaite drops a T-Rex? Because it's kind of important in the movie.
Oh, right. Yeah, totally forgot about
this. I think he leaves a crackle bar out for bait. A very large T-Rex-sized crackle bar.
Well, a baby T-Rex didn't work. Let me try this. My God, it's a full-size crackle bar. Has anyone ever seen this?
Well, this is just big enough to satisfy anybody's hunger.
T-Rexes have the same appetite as Beetlejuice.
I don't know. I mean, like, he just fucking drops it.
And what's annoying, though, for all the dino computery we're doing in this movie, you don't see this thing fall.
No.
Like, you see the dinosaur come out, and he's like, smile, you son of a, you know, and shoots it. And then we just cut to, it's been captured. Like, I need to see this thing fall over with its, because he, like, stuns it.
Yeah, well, possibly it's like, I got a shotgun, I'm going to fucking drop it in the head. And he's like, oh, wait, some fucking eco-terrorist took that out. I guess he's going to destroy San Diego now.
Yeah.
So I'll just fucking trank it.
So they meet up with Vince Vaughn.
Yep.
And we're in the helicopter, and we're getting out of here.
Movie's over, really.
And I remember in the theater being like, wow, this didn't take that long. Mm. Okay, we're in the helicopter, that's fine. And they're flying off the island, and then they fly over, and they're like, wait, look at that. And it's the crew, and they've, like, captured this T-Rex and are in the process of putting it in a cage.
Yeah.
Cut to an indeterminate amount of time later.
Who knows?
I don't even know.
Who knows?
But
well, you can figure it out. They say it's 2 hours by plane, so a good amount of time.
But he takes a boat for some reason. The T-Rex is not a boat.
Thanks for giving me this boat, guys.
Now, we're in San Diego, but this is what I don't understand, because they're all, like, shit shower and shave.
Yes, yes.
Like, Julianne Moore got a haircut, you know? Like, they pull up, and can anyone explain this? It's just Julianne Moore and Jeff Goldblum.
Yep.
Vince Vaughn is out of this movie, as is the daughter.
It's really, I mean,
except
I understand
that very, very last scene,
very, very end, she comes back for 2 seconds, but
I understand the reason why the daughter's not in. You wouldn't bring your daughter to a dinosaur press conference after all she's been through.
That is strictly an 18 and up scenario.
But, Vince Vaughn, as the hero of
Vince
this
Vaughn,
movie.
You have to keep him away from the camera. He is looking for the camera.
I don't understand it. How do you just drop a character? The last time you see him, he's looking out the window of the helicopter like, look at that. They captured him.
And he's got the two bullets. He's like, oh, they didn't get these,
motherfucker. They didn't
motherfucker.
Get these. Yeah, but like,
we already know. Also, we already know. He opened the damn shotgun, saw the empty things, Vince Vaughn's the only one doing shit in this movie.
Yeah,
did it.
Yeah, but we're spelling stuff out, though, dude. How you just drop a main character like that? Like, I don't know if there's a deleted scene or something that's like, oh,
there's something.
He's on vacation.
There's some stuff that they shot about the T-Rex getting off the boat, or how they take over the boat or whatever.
Well, because it's weird, because it's Rob Raliban about to do this press conference. Like, oh man, you've never seen it before. Dinosaurs as far as the eye can see. And here comes the king of the dinosaur on this boat that's going to be here any minute now. And the boat shows up like Dracula got to it. Like, everyone's dead.
It's Ghost Ship, man.
Yeah, and it makes no fucking sense.
Well, it's a deleted scene that explains
it. But what doesn't explain it is that the dinosaurs must have killed them, like waited to the captain got the boat right lined up.
Also,
I mean, yes, that doesn't make any sense.
Now, boys.
Also, all the deaths are like inside of small spaces. Like a raptor's the only one who could really do
that. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Chris Cabin. There's a deleted scene that says that raptors got on the boat.
But then why aren't they there on the...
Because the T-Rex then...
Okay.
Raptors got on the boat and killed the people in the small spaces, like in the captain's quarters or whatever.
The T-Rex was in a coffin, turned to mist, and picked up the crew one by
one.
And then
a group of stowaways.
Oh, fuck.
In this scenario, I agree with you.
Yeah, those velociraptors were stowaways. And why? Why? Oh, why? Sweet God, the editor of this movie, you would cut that out. Of course I want to
see raptors on a ship messing things up, making things interesting, having a little fucking fun with this movie.
And as you left it, it makes no goddamn sense.
You know what makes even less sense? Again, because we're just making references to that first movie, the hand holding the steering wheel that's been chomped off. Like, the rest of the body's gone, but it's just Sam Jackson's hand driving the boat. Thing from Captain Thing from the Addams Family.
It
winds up making no sense.
Absolutely zero sense.
A boat crashes into the barge.
Like Speed 2 cruise control.
And, you know, it's a whole dead crew. And the T-Rex is locked up. The baby
T-Rex is on a different site. The site that apparently John Hammond essentially finished construction on Jurassic Park San Diego and then was like, nah, I should really buy an island and do this there. Because this is like a football stadium.
I'm going to keep the sign up and everything.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then how is he like, I have a really big announcement. They're like, well, is it that Jurassic Park?
It's been here for 5 years.
You can't build a football stadium without somebody asking, what is it?
Listen, Mr. Hammond, you petitioned this city to extend our subway line to come through and attach itself to your amusement park that then you decided to not open.
What did you write on the permits?
Yeah,
on Jurassic Park? What is that? It's
Animal
I can't ask
Kingdom?
You.
It's a petting
pet
zoo.
Store.
You can't write "Oh, you'll see" on a permit. Yeah. All right,
is that? Oh, Jurassic means horses.
The best damn pet shop in town.
And why aren't there a bunch of hobos fucking in this thing?
This thing has to be the mall from Gone Girl.
Absolutely is.
Just fucking sucking and shooting up in this abandoned amusement park in the middle of San Diego.
And it's just covered in bird shit. I mean,
It's rusty.
It's like the Barclays Center.
Oh, God. And they don't got, like, old Eugene up there scraping it off every day. No.
But that's where the baby T-Rex is. So the T-Rex gets out, right? And now we're doing the fucking thing. The T-Rex is out through San Diego.
We're
and
just King Konging down the street.
And Jeff Goldblum and Julianne Moore, the only two that could figure out, oh, my God, we could use the T-Rex's baby as bait because that's what this whole stupid movie's been about.
It's worked the first two times they tried it.
So they drive to Jurassic Park Site F, I guess.
Yeah.
And this T-Rex is fucking killing people in San Diego.
Oh, absolutely. Including David Kep at a gas station.
Credited as unlucky bastard.
And he kills his whole goddamn family, too. Like he kills
the dog
The dog first.
Yeah, let me tell you something. You think it's so fucking hilarious to show that doghouse ding dangling from this T-Rex's mouth? Eat shit, dude. I don't need that dog getting killed. What I need is for the T-Rex to be like, oh, a dog, and then smash its face into that family's house and kill all three of them.
Well, he does because they all go, and we get a cut. So that's the only end of that scene, right, as he murders all of them.
What I love, though, is the kid sees the dinosaur and is like, oh, geez, and goes into his parents' room and is like, there's a dinosaur in the backyard. And he wakes the parents up. And what's great is, like, it's good that this family gets murdered because this marriage is on the rocks. Like, these two parents are, like, snapping and fighting like velociraptors.
I don't know if it was his way. Like, I don't think this is a conscious choice, but... like to have that broken home syndrome that he has in his movies that are there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm going to ask this because I remember it even from the last time I saw it. The whole argument that the parents are having about the kid is about how they shouldn't have got on that fish tank.
Yes. Yes.
Which is actually kind of an analogy to how we shouldn't be putting animals in cages.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just noticed it again. I wanted to bring it up.
I mean, that's the underlying thing of all of this is like, why do you do this to animals? And like, I get it. I'm on your side. But like, get it out the fucking movie, man. And like, honestly, how angry do you have to be when the first thing you do when you wake up in the middle of the night is argue?
Honestly. Like, you've been fighting in your sleep.
You were dreaming of reasons to just yammer at each other.
They just start into it immediately.
Yeah, that's it. That fucking T-Rex Babadook's the shit out of both of them, huh?
So I would put a wrapper on, and I don't think that you guys will agree, but maybe, that I would put a wrapper on once it's loose in San Diego. I actually don't mind this movie. I like the King Kong stretch of this movie. I don't think that it's terrible.
If this was the beginning of the movie going into a movie about us trying to get a T-Rex, wrangle a T-Rex in the middle. I'm more into that movie.
Half-baked, ill-placed, totally lopsided film overall.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just the sequence of it, of him just like biting at things and the video store
the
stuff.
The guy's trying to fucking go into a Blockbuster and gets eaten. Yeah, I mean, I'm actually more for that than, you know, staring at cartoon stegosauruses.
Well, because it's a cool idea that comes off as an afterthought.
Exactly.
Yes. You know, and like, King Kong is structured the same way. Like, he's not rampaging around New York for that long. But that's fine, because King Kong did it.
It's like a vampire in Brooklyn. A vampire is mostly stuck on the LIE and then gets to Brooklyn.
Well, it's like Friday the 13th, Jason Takes Manhattan. We're in Manhattan for like 15 minutes. We're on a cruise ship for most of that movie.
Well, I mean, I do kind of think it's like, you get an email from like Subway or something like, oh man, you've got your punch card. You've gotten enough for your free Subway. P.S. You won the lottery. Like, it's the beginning of a really mediocre movie, and then like a really good idea is that you're right.
I will take umbrage with it for two reasons. Uh-huh. It gets fucking hammy in this part, like really bad, because we got in Blockbuster for some reason we're doing Last Action Hero bits with fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger in King Lear. It's like, get the fuck out of Jurassic Park with fucking industry jokes, if you don't mind.
There's another one, though. Then it's Tom Hanks doing something else.
Like, I got him written down. Here we go. it's Robin Williams in a Jack and the Beanstalk remake.
Oh, man. I missed Tom Hanks in
who knows what, called Tsunami Rising, where he looks like a bad guy where he's riding a wave.
Ugh.
And we get the fucking Godzilla joke. Man with the Japanese tourist.
Yeah, oh,
get the fuck out of my movie. Hey, just get the fuck out of here.
And they say that it's translated to, I left Japan to get away from this or something?
Yes, yeah, which I guess intimates that in this world of the Lost World, also exists all those troubles with Godzilla and his friends.
Shared universe. That proves a shared universe. Yeah. That proves to me it's a shared universe.
So they fucking drive to derelict Jurassic Park, pick up that T-Rex, and drive back to the boat, and the T-Rex follows them.
Which, not for nothing, this whole thing needs to end at derelict Jurassic Park.
Yes.
And the fucking dinosaur gets killed.
It blows up.
Exactly. Like, it's not...
Let's kill this dinosaur.
That's the problem I have with the sequence, is we're running around, we're doing stuff, and it's cool. It's cool seeing a dinosaur like walk down a suburban street and look at houses. Sure, that's neat. But then we just immediately turn around and go back to the boat. Like, you need to drag that T-Rex to the Jurassic Park compound. Yep. And a big explosion happens.
Yep.
And this thing gets blown to Kingdom Come. And it's not entirely heartbreaking because, like, the baby's still alive. The movie ends with you taking the baby back to the island, whatever.
I just feel like I have not seen in two movies now, in 4 hours, I have not seen what a gun does to a fucking dinosaur. And you know what? I think I should at this point. Like an actual honest-to-goodness handgun. What's going to happen?
Yeah, because there is actually, he gets himself in a bit of trouble because he gets, I think it's funny. I think it gets fun. But a whole bunch of cops pull up and you totally expect to, like, you know, when they shoot the Hulk and the Hulk's like, come on, you didn't check with anybody else that didn't work. But then they get that and he gets himself in trouble because he sets it up. The cops are all going to get out and unload on the T-Rex and it's not going to do anything. And the cops just pull right back out again.
It's kind of hilarious because they look and they're like, fuck this, and like all just turn around and drive away. I mean, they get it back to the boat successfully.
Arliss Howard gets fucking thrown to the wolves pretty much.
And this is another, the T-Rex, so the baby is down in the hall, and he's down there.
And like, Arliss Howard has already said, like, look, kill the fucking big T-Rex, I just want the baby alive. He's like me in this situation.
And so he goes down in there, which it's kind of awesome that Jeff Goldblum and Julianne Moore aren't like, you should probably get out of there.
No,
like,
no.
They jump right off the boat into the water, and he's down there
They use the T-Rex as bait to get the bad guy.
I guess that's true. They engineer his death.
Yeah.
Collaboration.
They're down there, and he's like, oh, precious. Oh. And then this T-Rex just silently, as if a T-Rex getting onto a boat wouldn't shake the boat.
Or at least, you put it on there. That boat's tipping a bit.
It's a
boat.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
And then it creeps down this little staircase.
Somebody's snow globe is falling off of the mantle or whatever they have there.
The biggest thing is at the very end, because he's got, you know, T-Rex legs, he does a little jump.
Yep.
And it doesn't, nothing happens.
It's amazing.
Ugh.
And then what's kind of fucked up and
it's pretty
awesome
cool. It's a cool
is like the T-Rex like sets up the kill, but then lets the baby
execute it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and you can see it just like, oh, proud mama. You're like, yeah.
You would rather be eaten by a big T-Rex than a baby T-Rex, right?
Yes, yeah. Because a baby T-Rex has taken a little longer.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Big T-Rex is just, it's like two chomps, you're out.
Yeah, you see Schiff go.
Yeah.
When the Schiffening happens, you know, that's instantaneous death. This is like you're getting maybe like a hand or like a arm at a time or something.
And then it's the last scene. Bernard Shaw is narrating this dinosaur being sent back. Oh, by the way, there's an island of dinosaurs. And here's John Hammond, not in chains.
No.
Dude, he would be in a fucking tribunal. Like, I mean,
you're going to The Hague.
No, yeah. It's French Revolution stuff. You're getting tied to a stick, and then a bunch of people are shooting you.
This T-Rex is killed in San Diego, like 12 people, probably.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a minor fucking huge disaster. And not to mention all the bodies that are on fucking Isla Serna.
Yep,
you know,
yeah.
Like, and like he gives this impassioned speech on, oh, if the Costa Rican government let us go, it'll all be fine if we could work hand in hand. And you know what? I'm sorry.
And he sort of find another pot of gold to find.
It's not like a mountain lion got loose and killed a bunch of people. This is a fucking engineered, spliced clone of a fucking T-Rex mixed with a bullfrog that killed 30 people, has fucking a taste for human blood.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just letting it go.
I'll be honest. When he does the speech, I kind of wanted them to cut to like a montage of all the homes of the families of the people who have been lost on Isla Sword. And him like... And we're working with Costa Rica, and them just like throwing TV sets out the window.
Oh yeah,
or it's like the end of Watchmen, but he gets the contract to rebuild San Diego.
Exactly.
He's getting that one.
But I mean, yeah, he's at least, if he's not getting the chair,
yep,
he's paying endless reparations to these families.
Oh yeah,
right. Like it's still all on now. But here's the problem, though.
I think he got fired from InGen at just the right time, first and foremost. because all that InGen, oh, I don't know.
Oh, maybe he sold his stock.
Yeah. He sold his stock.
That's it. When fucking Goldblum left, he
second he walked out the door.
He picked up the phone to the stockbroker.
He took
broker.
The money he was going to pay and reinvested it to sell it. Yep, there it is.
Oh, man. But to be fair, he did not send Arliss Howard and all those goons. Mm. They were all on orders of Arliss Howard to go down there. So, like, you know, Muldoon 2, all those guys. That's not technically on John Hammond.
Picks up the phone, sells his InGen stock, and he's like, oh, yeah. And also sell those blockbusters I own in San Diego. All of them.
But how are people going to get movies?
Yeah, so then, and they're just, it's Julianne Moore and Jeff Goldblum and the daughter just sleeping on the couch watching this shit.
Sure, whatever.
Whatever.
Where it gets the Navy transport it should have had to begin with.
Yeah. Yes, it's the, like, the full effort of the U.S. Navy.
And other nations. It's like they all get together.
Like, the world came together and was like, put this dinosaur back, please.
You know, I don't know. If you want to fucking save a Triceratops or a couple of Stegosaurus, fine.
Yep.
Look at them. You got to nuke that island, though, right? I feel like you got to nuke that island.
That's the most unrealistic part, because, sure, nations would come together to firebomb the fuck out of both of those islands.
Yep.
Not to bring this... I mean, let's be realistic about this. Like, we would be murdering those things left and right.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Testing them.
Doing all kinds of weird-ass shit.
Not just... And then we have... You know, he's like, oh, life will find a way. No. And, you know...
Stole my line.
The fucking, you know... the T-Rex family's back together again. Other dinosaur flying all over the place. And then...
Because why not?
Yep.
The end of this movie is a pterodactyl, like, perching itself on this branch, being like, show's over!
I almost had a heart attack, because I was like, you had a fucking pterodactyl the whole time? And John Hammond's like, oh, they're just harmless little dinosaurs on their little dinosaur island. That thing can fucking fly!
Right, it kind of proves that he was like, dishonest the whole time, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I thought that ending was. I thought that the ending that you found out that John Hammond was a bad guy.
No, it's
got a baby in its mouth.
No, I think John Hammond is Hannibal. This is his design.
Yeah, you're totally right. And because in the third movie,
yeah,
they go back to the second island and they find the big fucking aviary where all the pterodactyls are hanging. You knew that was there, and you didn't say shit about it. You monster, you madman.
Fucking Savage Land, bro.
Like John Hammond is the most reprehensible mad scientist in cinema history.
He just might be. I mean, he's got 38 deaths, and however many happen in the next one and the third one.
It's all on him. Whatever happens plus. In Jurassic World, it's his fault, and he's long dead.
I don't know. Who killed more, Jason or John Hammond?
I think that's still Jason.
Yeah,
Still got him beat, but not by much, honestly.
Not by as much as he should have him beat for a kindly old grandfather scientist.
He might actually be about even keel with Mike Myers.
Yeah, that's...
I think about... I actually kind of do believe that he has a extra room in his house, and it's just got a chalkboard on it, and every time he takes a soul...
That's another year I live.
He puts a little notch on his cane. It's a dollar per notch.
Grandpa, why do you keep cutting into your cane? No reason, Timmy. Carve, carve, carve.
Oh, that poor little family. Carve, carve, carve.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Hammond. The little girl will be okay. Puts away a file. Great.
Son of a bitch. Do let me know if anything changes.
He's sneaking into her hotel room at night.
The dino did most of the work. The pillow finishes the job.
He's got one of those dinosaur pillowcases just because he's a madman and needs to finish it the right way.
Cut to the triumphant John Williams, I believe, the music.
Yeah, it's John Williams-y. We're adding a lot of, like, island sounds to this score, so it's not exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Which sounds like shit, by the way.
It's bad.
They just added bongos.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm not going to have a problem with? You just using the amazing Jurassic Park score over again. Would anybody recommend this movie?
No, absolutely not. Get away from it.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Nope, nothing good here.
I think it's okay. It's kind of middle of the road. It's a middle of the road sequel. We're reenacting a lot of the stuff from the first one. Where it's bad. It's very, very bad. But I feel like as an experience, if you haven't... I didn't actually super hate this because the body count kind of did it for me, even though it shits on everything the first movie is about. It's the Ian Malcolm thing. And I feel like this about the third one. I didn't see it.
You've never seen the third one?
No. And I'm not super thrilled about the fourth one, but I will see it. It's like, you know... They asked so much if they could.
Yeah.
They never bothered to ask if they should. And they never should have.
No, don't see it.
That's fair. I'm kind of in Steve's position. I mean, at the end of the day, you're still watching dinosaurs stomp around.
Yeah.
They're shittier computer dinosaurs, but at least we're using T-Rex puppets for the chiffoning.
Yeah.
That's still mostly animatronic stuff, which is cool. I mean, don't race out to see. I mean, see three before you see two if you haven't seen any of these movies.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I want to pimp out here, because it's kind of the perfect combination of people to tell this story. Justin, do you want to tell the I have to write this review story?
Oh, this would be just a fine time for me to tell this story.
I want to see if Chris Gavin remembers this, first of all.
This is a great story, Chris Gavin. You know what it is, but... One time, me, you, and a friend of ours were drinking at a bar, and we were drinking, and then you were like going at it pretty hard or whatever. And we were like, Chris, with like, "What's up, man? Are you all right?" And you're like, "Yeah, I just gotta write this review. Sorry, I guess I'm just a little nervous." And like, you were like, I don't know what you would drink like that for, like a fucking funeral, I guess. And you got real wasted and you left before us, and we came home like an hour later and we opened up the door and we just heard the Jurassic Park theme blaring from your room. You gotta get a little sauced up for that review. Is that what happened?
For a DVD review of Jurassic Park?
I do remember the story. I don't remember watching the movie that night.
Well, you did.
It must have been a great review.
I mean, silent film, Jurassic Park.
I just love that. It's one of my favorite things of all time. I gotta write this review. Pound, pound. Oh, shit. That is The Lost World, Jurassic Park, directed by the great Steven Spielberg. If you want more information about the show, check out whmpodcast.com or sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at whmpodcast. And write into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show on iTunes. We would greatly appreciate it. Clue for next week's episode, I will say Jamie Foxx.
Oh.
Yeah. Little Jamie Foxx action. So, that's it for The Lost World. Justin, thank you for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Until next week, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gabin.
Justin Case.
Steven Sadak.
Take it easy.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.